All right, so I wanted to look today at an issue that people ask about a lot and relates to our overall topic, and that is Ashkenazi versus Sephardi halakha. Why would there be a difference? Why do we ever do anything differently? So certainly sometimes the answer could be geographical, you know, if you have kitniot, something like that, so then in Ashkenazi countries, the way things were grown were in close proximity to each other. Maybe that wasn't true in Sephardi countries. But we're going to look at something that's not geographical. And we'll actually do B. I want to start with B. Maybe we'll do A. So it's on page 22. So it's page 22. And it's the question of what or why. So we were all taught, whether in youth or beyond that, that you should never say amen to your own bracha. But that's also not true. When do we all say amen to our own bracha?
In Kaddish?
Okay, but that's not a bracha per se. Okay, but that's a good thought. No.
In the Torah?
No, because the Chazan doesn't say amen there. No. So it's in it's actually in benching. In the middle of benching. No, not that part of benching, because that's not a bracha.
Oh, okay.
But we say Bonei Yerushalayim, Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim, and then say Amen, which is unusual, because we just said a bracha. Why would you say Amen all of a sudden to your own bracha?
Why wouldn't you?
Why should you? It's just you made a bracha, so...
Right, I mean, there's no need, but why wouldn't you?
Oh, so that's we'll talk about why we usually don't say amen to our bracha. That's
a good question, too. Our bracha is inherently someone else, like, you made a statement and someone else...
Right, elevates it. So, the truth is, it would take us... let's start at the end, because the end answers that question. So let's look all the way at the end, because the end, he gets final.
On 22 or 23.
So the bottom of 23, okay. The Aruch HaShulchan, he answers that question. So we'll see him out of order, that's fine. V'nira li ani es daiti, it says, it seems to me, in my humble opinion, hatam, the reason that we don't say amen to our own bracha normally, dehine al yidei ha-bracha, is because when you make a bracha, nishpa shefa shel mala, you send forces up to the heavens, you effect a change in the cosmic order through the words that you say when you make a bracha. We don't know exactly what that means, but you cause a change in the spiritual energy of the universe. V'aniyat amein, and when somebody says amein, hu l'chazek adavar, that comes to strengthen that change that's been made to the cosmic order. Shevadai keinu, that it's certainly true that should happen. V'eino min haragoy, so it wouldn't be appropriate Adam yachzik atzmo, that a person should say about himself, shehu kedai, that he is worthy, sha'al yado, that through him, teilech shefa habracha. This cosmic change should take place. Amen means that I agree, not just I agree with what you said, that's how we sometimes translate it, but what it really means is that through what you have just said, there should indeed be caused this positive change in the universe through those words. But for you to say that about yourself, it's presumptuous. It's a little rude to say that about yourself, that I just made a bracha, that the bracha I just made is going to cause this positive energy to be sent throughout the universe. That's pretty presumptuous. We hope so. You hope it's true that happens, but to say that about your own bracha is pretty rude. And that's why other people say amen instead of yourself.
That's funny.
So then that begs the question of why we say amen right in the middle of benching. Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim, and then we all say amen to our own bracha. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see that right now. So we'll start this. We've been going forwards in time in our previous classes, Gemara down to Halacha, so we're going to do the opposite. So the first source on page 22 is the Shulchan Aruch. And it says, "Ein one amen." You don't answer amen achar birchotav, after your own bracha. Excuse me, after your own bracha. Ella, except achar shtei brachot, unless you have made two brachot, o yoter or more, shehem sof brachot, which then form a conclusion, mm-hmm. kind of like a plateau spot in davening or benching. That's mm-hmm. the Bnei Yerushalayim spot, where you can then say Amen. And then you might say Amen. So if there's a series of brachot, which Bnei Yerushalayim is at the end of a series of brachot, then you should say Amen. Right? He didn't give the example. V'nagu la'anot Amen. So our minhag is to say Amen achar yehalelucha, after Hallel, the end of Hallel, after our own bracha. Now, who is talking now? Who is talking in the...
Oh.
In Orach Chaim?
Right, in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. Oh. So this is the... Because you see the next line is Haggah.
Haggah.
So right. Before the Haggah is the Shulchan Aruch himself.
Oh.
Right, who was what kind of Jew?
Sephardi.
Okay, so this is Sephardi. He says you should make Amen after any series of brachot. Right, is Rav Yosef Cairo. He's Sephardi. You should say Amen after any series of brachot. And he gives the example of Yehalelucha, which is the end of Hallel, and Yishtabach, right, which is the end of Pesukei Dezimra. So now you've had two brachot, Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. It's a spot that's the end of a section that seems to be a thread that runs through this so far, that it's, you know, that seems to be a factor here, that it's the end of a series of things. So it's the end of Pesukei Dezimra, the end of, he doesn't mention benching, but the end of benching or the end of the Torah. We'll see. Bnei Yerushalayim main is not the end of benching, but it's the end of the main part of benching. Mm-hmm. After that is rabbinic.
It's like a pause or something.
Right. So wait, it doesn't mean, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, that my tefillah should change the universe. It's just a way of signaling that this series is finished. So it really means, right? So it means something different than the usual Amen, and that's why you should do that. That's what the Shulchan. Now that's unfamiliar to us. Why? What's surprising so far about that? He didn't mention benching. He mentions Hallel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We don't say Amen. Sephardim do, in fact, but we I don't. Right. I do not say Amen after Hallel, after my own bracha, after Hallel, or Yishtabach, but again, Sephardim do. Ashkenazim only do benching. So says the Rama, V'yesh omrim, some people say, She'ein onin amein, that we don't answer amein, rak achar birchat bonei Yerushalayim bebirchat hamazon. We only say amein after bonei barachamav Yerushalayim, in the middle of birchat hamazon. Kein haminag pashut, that is the minhag that is common, b'medidon elu, in our countries, in Eastern Europe, bein l'shanot, and you should not change it. And he quotes the Tosfot, which we'll see, in the Mordechai, which we'll see. Uvimikomot shenagu, and even those places that do have the minhag, la'anot amin achar yehalelucha v'yishtabach, those places which do have a minhag to say amin after yishtabach and after halel, as the Shulchan Aruch said, ya'aneh gamkein, they should also say amin achar birchat shomer amo Yisrael la'ad, after the in Maariv, after Shema, just before Shmona Esrei, they say Baruch Ata Hashem Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad. So he says, if you're going to be consistent, you should say Amen there too. So now we've added to the list. We're going to keep adding to the list. He's the Ramah. That's the Moshe Yisrael list for Ashkenazim. Right. So now we have a divide, but we still don't know why. Sephardim seem to be more lenient on this issue. They're now allowing these Amens more often. Anytime there's been a series, or how did he put it? After two or more brachot, which is the end of a section, so brachot,
22.
Yeah, 22 at the top. So we noticed that even though we don't usually say amen to our own bracha, we actually do, in the middle of benching, we say bonei bracha of Yerushalayim, then we say amen, which is unusual, right? And we noticed at the top of, so you have the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, right? Sephardi Ashkenazi. Then the Sfaradim go further than that. They say Amen after Hallel, after their own bracha, and after Yishtabach, after Pesukei Dezimra in the morning, which is true. They do that. We'll see some of that even they don't do. We'll get to some other possibilities later of ending brachot. What other ones would there be? What other time are there two or more brachot in a row, and then there's kind of an ending point? we have a series. Well, he says Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, which is the night Shema Brachot. There's also the morning Shema Brachot. Ah, good. Shemona Esrei, we'll see. What about after your own? So you wouldn't do, so far, if we're going to be consistent, Shulchan Aruch anyway, would say not after every single bracha, but after the series of bracha. Correct. We'll see that later. That maybe after your Shemona Esrei is finished, you should say, after the last one, after Sim Shalom, which is the final bracha, you should say Amen after your own bracha. Because that's the end of a series.
In morning bracha.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
When you say, and then there's that whole paragraph, and you're not supposed to make a break, and you're not supposed to say Amen, and you say Amen at the end of the.
Right. Maybe it would be, that's very good. Yeah, I don't think we'll see that mentioned, partly because that was put into the Siddur there later. It was originally done one by one, meaning each bracha was done separately.
Right.
So that might be why they don't mention it, but that's true. That's a good point.
What
is she talking about? We don't
say Amen.
Right, so at the end, you could say Amen to your own bracha.
But then,
series.
You go from Shalos Anish or whatever you say, and then there's another paragraph, which I can't remember. I'm like,
Hamav Yershena Me'enai, it's New Mamma
Apathoi,
Vihiros
Amen.
Don't
you say Amen at the end of that?
No, I don't think so, but Sephardi might, based on this idea.
Maybe Nusachari does.
Right, maybe Nusachari does. Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. The Haftarah Brachot is a series, so maybe we say Amen because we're sitting in shul, but maybe the person making the Brachot should, right? But not Ashkenazim, right? So for some reason, which we'll see, the Ramah says, we Ashkenazim only do this for benching. Something special about benching. We don't do this at Maariv and Shacharit and Shemona Esrei and Pesukei
Tzimra.
Well, that's not a Bracha.
There's a lot of Amen special
there. Right, yeah, but this is a Bracha thing. That's a different kind of Amen too. We said before you came that the problem is the way the Aruch HaShulchan says it. We started at the end here. He says that when you make a bracha, your words have the power to change the cosmic order of the universe, whatever that quite means. And he says saying Amen means that the person's words, the person who said his words, will have that effect on the universe. Mm-hmm. So if you say it about yourself, it's a little presumptuous to say that, I should, my bracha is going to have the power to commandeer this change, in the stratosphere.
I thought it was just affirming that you are, joining, but it's as if you made the bracha when you say Amen.
That's true, too.
Confirming.
Exactly, because it's going to have that, Amen is a little word with a lot of weight behind it, a lot of depth in it.
Is Amen related to Emunah?
And it stands for Kel Melech Ne'aman. Which was said, Kel Melech Ne'aman, which is, it's
right before Shema.
Which you say, that's why people say it in before Shema, Kel Melech Ne'aman, because they're not going to have the Chazan's. No, that's different because they're going to be three words short at the end because the Chazan doesn't repeat. Oh, because there's 248 words in Shema, and you'll be three words short if the Chazan doesn't repeat three words. So you get three words.
But wait, could I just ask so back to that idea of having some force in the universe, whatever that is.
Right, yeah.
So that means if you're davening alone,
right,
you may or may not have that force because there's not someone to
But it says that when you say it, you say it.
Right.
Yeah, the bracha alone.
Right.
Causes that.
But the amen gives it an additional force.
That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is that Amen means the Amen itself doesn't cause that effect. It's a statement that I believe your words will have that effect on their own.
It's like a separate.
Right.
Because I think you're supposed to. Like when you hear
phase two of the launch.
You should say Amen.
You should say Amen.
Oh, for sure.
But not maybe for that, but just another.
Maybe it's kind of like that tree in the forest thing. You're davening alone, it's fine, it happened, but if someone heard it, there'd be a reaction, but if there isn't, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
You're confusing that with if a man hears a tree fall in the forest and it doesn't make a sound, is he still wrong?
No, I never heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so husband. If a husband,
hears a tree. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Okay, So where do we get this difference? First of all, why would we ever say Emet Zirin Bracha? Why do the Ashkenazim only do it for benching? Why do Sfaradim do it anytime there's a series of two or more brachot? So where does this come from? So what I've done here is we have an Ashkenaz root and a Sephard root. They both start with a Gemara, and then they branch off.
What does ha mean? Ha? Ho? He?
Ha means this one. So we'll see. Ha means this. So says the Gemara. Tani Chada, one opinion it said, we learned one place, how now amein, that somebody who says amein, achar birkotav, after his own bracha, hareza mishubach, he should be praised. Right? Surprising. V'tanya idach, but another place taught us, another brayta taught us, hareza meguna, that person is disgusting or, you know, is doing acting improperly by saying amen to their own bracha. Obviously a contradiction. The Gemara says, lo kasha, not a problem. Ha, one of those is b'bonei Yerushalayim. He's talking about the middle of benching, b'bonei Yerushalayim amen. Right, that's the good way to do it, meaning if you say amen there, good, hareza mishubach, you're praised, say we're happy. Ha, but the other braita, b'sha'ar brachot, was talking about other brachot. So, if we stopped there, does that sound like the Ashkenazi way is right, or the Sephardi? You could defend either one.
What do you mean, it's right?
Well, the Ashkenazim feel we should say amen after your own bracha, after B'nai Yerushalayim, yeah, in the middle of benching.
But nowhere else.
Sephardim do it any time there's a series of brachot.
So you this is Ashkenazi.
So it seems to agree with Ashkenazi, because it's mentioning benching. Mm-hmm.
And not for...
Right, Ha B'Shar Brachot. Right, so you can read this as all other instances where you would do that, it would be miguna. It would be inappropriate to do that. It would be blue, exactly. The red is always going to be... See how we did that? Right, the red is always going to be good, the blue is always going to be bad. I don't know why. I think red would be bad. I don't know. I guess, yeah. So, Bonei Yerushalayim, so right, however, there is a Sephardi way to read this Gemara, which is that it's not giving you the only example, it's giving you an example. It's giving you a case. For example, Bonei Yerushalayim. And what's characteristic of Bonei Yerushalayim is it's after a few brachot that came one after another. Mm. It's the end of a major section. So therefore Sephardim will now extend that to these other cases. Mm-hmm. Meaning it wasn't giving you the only possible case, because why would that case exist on its own, independent of any other situation? Why would that be so special? And not, you know, if you're going to say benching, you'd have to say that the same principle would apply to other things. Why would it only be benching? Sephardim would say, right? They would say, why would this be the one and only case? Whatever principle applies to this, you can extend it outward to Maariv, right? Or to Hallel, or to Pesukei Zimra, right? Any cases that we saw. Okay. The next two lines are an as relevant, Abaye, Anele Bekala, and Abaye would say Amen loudly. He would say Amen loudly. Ki hechi, actually this will matter, delishmeu poalim v'likomu, so that his workers, he had a field I'm picturing, and he had employees, they would hear that he said Amen, and they would get up to go back to work, because they now knew that the main part of benching was done.
Oh, that's great.
Right? So they would, right? Because you have it, you get time off of work.
Clock in.
Right, they could clock back in. Because you get time off of work to daven or bench, but not the rest of benching, because it's only rabbinic. So they would hear Amen, they would say, oh, back to work. Right? It was like a bell.
Hello.
The Tova Hameti loved the Araita, because the rest of benching is not from the Torah anyway.
That sounds sociopolitical.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, when
you're sociopath, I thought you were going to say a different sociopathic.
No, it's
like the work.
No. It's just very contextual instead of
theological. Oh, the fact that he did that, or
no,
the
like,
fact
you
that we're
just
told
have to go back to work, as opposed to why wouldn't you just say
kind of
the whole benching?
Yeah.
No, we want you guys back at work.
Back at work, yeah. Yeah.
Right. You don't get five more minutes
yeah,
till we finish the benching.
Right, he's capitalist,
you have to go
now. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, Anele Belechisha, he used to say Amen quietly. Just the opposite. So people would not come to denigrate or
rest of the
Yeah, otherwise people would start not caring about the rest eventually. Because they heard a main, they're like, oh, must be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But no, right? So if you have to say a main, at least do it quietly, because otherwise people will figure out the rest of benching doesn't matter. Right?
It's so funny because to me, I don't know, and I never knew any of this, but when you sing the benching or say the benching, that part does seem like a natural stop. When
right.
you just keep saying the rest, it's like, this is just something completely different.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. The rest of it was added after the massacre at Betar, which is like around the year 135.
Oh,
right.
Right.
Wow.
Now
I really want to learn about this.
Yeah, so it was next summer. So, who knows? So they actually, after the massacre at Betar, Rabbi Akiva, whose students were there, and it was a miracle that they were able to recover the bodies.
Right.
So he wrote this extra bracha of benching. So thank Hashem for that.
And they didn't, the bodies didn't...
Yeah, they didn't decay.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow.
They didn't decay. Exactly. Wow. Okay, so how do we get from that Gemara, which seems to be favoring the benching-only option, to this debate, Ashkenaz-Sephard debate, about all these other bracha? So that's what we're going to see. So let's take the Ashkenaz route. Right? What do we... Well, actually, I want to see Rashi first. So we'll see Rashi, which ends up... In this case,
why is he the Svardim?
Well, he just ends up saying what the Svardim say.
Oh.
Says Rashi, he's not always on the Svard route, but here what he says ends up being the Svard halacha.
I'm talking about the left side.
Exactly, the left side. So Rashi, Haba Bnei Yerushalayim. He's right. Remember, he's explaining the Gemara, but in explaining the Gemara, he sometimes ends up deciding halacha, and under the guise of explaining. We end up sometimes utilizing him as a halachic resource.
So I have a more fundamental question, potentially stupid, but
no.
So if Rashi says X, why isn't that the Ashkenazi position just by virtue of him being Ashkenaz?
He wasn't the only one who was Ashkenaz.
But why doesn't it say, okay, we're going to have a rift in the Ashkenaz position as opposed to Rashi sides with the Sephardim, instead of why won't we say, well, the Sephardim say this and the Ashkenazi are divided?
Say that last part again.
Why don't we say on this issue, because Rashi is siding with the Sephardim, instead of saying he's siding with the Sephardim, why isn't it, well, Rashi, so the Sephardim say X, the Ashkenazim are split, some say X, some say Y. Or is it so that the Ashkenazi is such a hard stop position that Rashi is the lone dissenter?
Yeah, it seems like that. So if we look at who the Ashkenaz root ends up being, we have Tosfot, which disagrees with Rashi, she doesn't, which they do sometimes. Then there's not a lot, right? Then we have the Mordechai at the top of the next page. He ends up factoring in, and then you have the Ramah, who of course is Ashkenazi. We saw the Ramah already, right? So there's not a lot to explain the Ashkenazi position, but we'll see that that doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't have weight or that that's not correct.
Seems like it would be more split.
Well, how would it be split? I mean, how would you end up being...
Well, it's Rashi against everybody else, but it's not such a big group.
Well, there are standard post-scheme for Ashkenazim. Rashi can go either way.
Okay.
But Tosfot, I mean, you have to follow something. The Ramah can't follow nobody. But he'll say who he quotes. He might quote Rishonim that are less common, you know. I don't think he would quote something... You know, he's quoting the way he sees things being done. He tries to find a source... If it happens to be Rambam, who really was Sephardi, then that's how it is. It's not always a neat, you know, a perfectly neat linear process. The ideal topic would be like, you know, you have the Gemara, and then you have, for Sephardim, you have Rambam and Rif and Rush and the Tor, and for Ashkenazim, you have the Rashi and Tosfot, and the Kolbo, who we saw, and maybe another Rishon, Ashkenazi Rishon, and that becomes the Ramah. It's not always that neat, because part of it is what develops. You know, a very common example of that is even the Ramah says that you should wash before you make Kiddush on Friday night, which nobody, you know, almost nobody does that. Right?
Does
so,
anybody do that?
Yeah.
There are people who do.
And there are some people who do it sometimes, like when there's a big crowd.
Okay, yeah.
Practicality.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, so you don't have to sit down, get up, sit down, you know, everybody's washing.
Yeah, it's a German minhag today.
Oh.
The Yekis do it, but it's not common. So it's not a perfect process. You know,
That's cool.
We have sort of
No, it's really interesting.
Yeah, we have processes, but then, you know, it's not always.
Wait, are you saying they wash for bread, or they wash before?
Wash for kiddush for
wash
bread.
Before kiddush.
Yeah, they wash.
So they wash, make kiddush, make matzi.
Oh,
don't talk.
Yeah.
Drink, don't talk.
It's a little confusing if you.
Drink, don't
talk. Oh, yeah, that is confusing, but that's
yeah.
really
you
interesting.
You know, we keep everybody quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I'm gonna
and
try.
Then
right.
Is could I just is
mm-hmm.
Is Tosfot are they? That's a school, right? That's not only Rashi's sons-in-law, but
right.
other people as
correct.
Well.
Correct. Yeah, it was headed by the major Baal HaTosfot. When we say Tosfot says, it's really incorrect. It should be, you know, it's plural. They're plural people. It should be Tosfot say. But colloquially, we say Tosfot says. But the main, there were two schools of Tosfot, one in Germany and one in France. The ones that we have more of are the ones from France, because the German ones, I believe, we lost. They were burned. They were lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's, something. But Rabbeinu, yes, his grandson Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Tom,
mm-hmm.
and then Rabbeinu Gershom, I believe, also his grandson was also. Those were the two school. Those are the two heads of the schools of Tosfot.
Is there a difference between Tosafot and Tosefta?
Oh, yeah.
Those two completely different
yeah.
things.
Tosafot is a commentary on the side of the Gemara page.
Right, I know who, but
right.
I don't know what Tosefta
is. Tosefta is a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah-like thing. It's a thing that sounds like Mishnah,
uh-huh.
and it is in the very back of the volume of Gemara,
uh-huh.
But it's the third leg of the Mishnah, Braita, Tosefta, triage, whatever.
Oh.
Not triage, what's the word?
Triad.
Yeah. the triad of Mishnah type of Mishnah like things from that era that are in Hebrew, and the Gemara can quote it when it wants to.
Okay,
no problem. So Rashi over here says, Chaba b'nei Yerushalayim, that it's okay to do it, to say amen to your own bracha if it's b'nei Yerushalayim. Shehi sofa brachot, because that is the end of the brachot. Hareza mishubach, so that's okay. V'chein b'sof Bircho de Kriyat Shema, and also at the end of the Shema Brachot. Shachrit Varvit, morning and night. All right, now we have morning too. V'yachar kol birchotav, de ketoni bebraita, hareza meshubach, achar gemar kol birchotav kalamar. And when it says that it's okay to do it, it means if you're doing it at the end of that series of brachot,
mm-hmm.
that sequence of brachot. V'yachar kol birchotav, de ketoni harim ziguna, but if it's bad to do it, when the Gemara says it's bad to do it, Besof kol bracha ubracha ka'amar. It means if you say amen after every single bracha, that's not good. But to do it at the end of a series is okay.
Wait, I thought you said that the Sephardis do that after every
right.
single one?
Yes.
So.
Oh, no, not after every single one.
They're done.
No.
Just after.
But they do, but they have different series that they say amen after.
Which they categorize as being like a group.
Exactly. Anything that looks like a group,
okay.
they'll do. Exactly, but not after every bracha in every group.
Okay.
Yeah. Says Tosfot, Piresh Rabbeinu Chaim, V'haigaon, Diyesh Mefarshim, that some people explain, Bechol bracha u'bracha, every single bracha, Kigon achar yishtabach, like after yishtabach, V'kayotzeba, or other things like that. Umihu, however, Pok chazi ma'am adavar, this is a Gemara expression that means go out and see what people are actually doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have this halachic principle, not all the time, that you have to see what's done.
Is that Aramaic?
Yeah. Pok chazi means go out and see ma amadavar, what the nation is doing. The Gemara from time to time will say, check it out. Right? If we're not sure what the halacha is, go see what people are doing. So Tosfot says, see what people are doing. Right, if you look around, you'll see Shalom Nahagula Nodamein Ella Achar Bonei Yerushalayim Divirkan HaMazon. It seems for some reason that the only Amen that people are saying to their own bracha is in the middle of benching. Doesn't know why. The other way makes sense, but this is what we're doing. Right? He says what the minhag that's developed in France or Germany in Ashkenazi countries is to only say Amen after Bonei Yerushalayim of benching. Of you.
You didn't go see Sephardi people.
Right. Exactly. That Pok Chazi is applying to his part of the world. Right.
I wonder what time
right. Exactly. So the men, sometimes it just develops that way, right? It's without any rhyme or reason. We'll see. There might be a rhyme or reason. There might be more than that. But he says it's the way it is, right? It just developed that way. That even though we could have, Ashkenazim could be saying Amen after Mariv, Shema Brachot, and after Shachrin and Halel and Pesukei Zimra, we just don't, right? And that's it. Okay, so the Rambam, who is in the Sfarad root and is Sephardi, he goes on for a while. We're not going to do the whole thing. It's very repetitive. The Ravid at the bottom complains that this Rambam is very repetitive.
But that's the end of the Ashkenazi discussion?
For now. We'll see at the top of the next page. Oh. There's Mordechai that we'll see. But you're right that there's the Sephardim are more emphatic about their position. So the Rambam says, Kol ha'oneh amin, achar birchotav, harei zeh meguna. Anyone who says amin after their own brachos is bad. V'ha'oneh amin achar bracha shehi sof brachot achronot. But if you say amin after a bracha, which is the end of the final ones, so it sounds like a series, we're saying it a little differently. Harei zeh meshuvach, that's great. Kigon achar b'nei Yerushalayim, the birkat amazon, right, the one that we know about. V'yachar bracha achrona shel kriyat shma, shel arbi. V'chein, b'sof, and now that's fine. V'chein, but then he goes on. B'sof kol bracha, shehi sof brachot achronot, again, any bracha that is the end of a series of brachot, ona ba amein achar atzmo. You can even make amein after your own bracha. I thought that's what he was saying already. So before he was saying to, so it sounds like in the first, yeah, ha'oneh amin.
So which the parts of the Mishubah?
Right, right, because it sounds like he said the same exact thing twice.
But it's not, because he's saying amneh.
Oh, ha'oneh achar.
To others.
To others, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Kol ha'oneh amin achar
b'chotav. Oh, wait, but it's
b'chotav. Yeah. Yeah, but then he says, even though you shouldn't say amin after every single bracha of your own, you should say amin after every single bracha of someone else's. Oh. So even though I shouldn't say amin after every single bracha I make, I should say amin after someone else's bracha, 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 which you could also say might be excessive. But he says, no, you should do that. And then at the end of that, what that we read, he says, and also even your own bracha, even, you should do it after a series.
So isn't he contradicting himself?
No. Because there are three things he said. The first two were about answering other people's.
Well, I don't know, because like the blue, it says, Kol ha'oneh amen,
right.
Achar b'chotav.
Right.
So he says, who's blessing?
Right, right. Yeah. He says, if you say amen after your own bracha, it's bad. But if you're answering someone else's bracha,
the red is someone else's.
Right, but if you say amen, but when it comes to someone else's brachot,
they're one by one brachot.
Yeah,
you can answer.
You can answer, exactly. You can say 100 amens to them.
Then
it's fine.
Says at the end, you can say also after yourself.
After your series.
Of brachot achronot.
After a series.
Not after
your
one difference? By one.
Because the series shows that you're now at a stopping point. It doesn't mean that you are praising yourself for it's a different kind of amen.
So the problem with doing it after every single bracha in a series, it means you're praising it. The risk, like, why would you care?
Right.
Because it would come across as praising yourself.
Right. Because that amen would mean that I did such a great thing, my bracha is going to change the universe, mm-hmm. which you could say about someone else's bracha after, you know, series, each bracha, but not your own.
And so the amen at the end of the series isn't about praising yourself, it's about saying, I'm done with this.
Exactly.
It's a stopping point.
Exactly. It's a stopping
point.
Different amen.
Okay.
It's a different amen.
Yeah,
it's a different
exactly right.
signifier.
I have to use another word.
I want you to say faith.
Yeah.
I have a question that I think is related to this, but I'm not sure. So when somebody's leading the benching, and, you know, everybody says, and then they say the last whatever, blah, 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 amen,
oh, right.
and then we all say amen,
amen
before
right,
we
and then
keep
move on.
Going.
Right.
What's that?
Yeah.
Is that somehow
well,
related to this?
Yeah, it's related because you're, we first.
To someone else. But they're
right.
saying amen to the.
Oh, they don't. They shouldn't.
They
the person.
Wait,
the person
to say it.
The
only time that's said is.
B'nei Yerushalayim. But the person who's leading benching shouldn't say amen
right.
after that first bracha, we second bracha.
Yeah.
But we do.
Yeah, because you're saying amen to his bracha. Which is fine.
What's the confusing part?
So is that a Sephardi thing?
No, because you're saying amen to someone else's bracha. That's always fine.
Believe it or not, we all agree on that.
Okay.
Ashkenazis and Sephardi.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can always say amen. In fact, that's what the Rambam just said. The Rambam said when it comes when the Rambam said that you that's what the Rambam just said, that when it comes to someone else's bracha, that brachot that you're hearing, you can say amen as many times as you want.
Like in the Haftarah.
Right.
I think people just get sloppy in benching. I think they're saying amen like you could be behind the person who's leading the benching,
so
and then
I'm,
you're saying amen like twice or something.
Right.
Or you're
so
not
right.
Even
so
realizing.
What I'm wondering is when people bench like that with someone leading the zimun.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not supposed to say the last bracha. We wait for them to say it, and then we say amen.
No, you say it too.
We say it.
Right. Then when they say it, you've now heard them say it, so you say amen.
Even if you're in the middle of another paragraph, and they're like way ahead of you or way behind you,
okay.
They finish their paragraph, you say amen.
Because you heard someone make a bracha.
I'm sure that's what we do. It's just now that I'm thinking about this, it's like
I
can't even picture
otherwise
it.
Otherwise, you have to give back all the food.
Okay, thank you. I think I get
Good. So the Mordechai... who here is on the top of the next page, who is agreeing with the, in this case, in many cases, the Ashkenazim, yeah, or I should say the Ashkenazim end up agreeing with him, the Ramans. So he quotes this whole thing, he quotes Rashi, who we saw, that it could be any, you could say, I mean, after any series of brachot, he says Shmona Esrei, he mentions Shmona Esrei, Kriya Shema, we saw, but at the end of the Mordechai, he says, should be, what color should be red? Avalo nahagu, it's not. Avalo nahagu ha'olam lomar amen ela achar bonei Yerushalayim di berkat hamazon. But our minhag again is to only say it after benching. Again, not giving it logic. Right? We're not infusing the Ashkenazi position with logic. It's just that's the minhag that's developed, right, so far.
Wait, who's the Mordechai?
So he is like the fourth. We had to say, you know, we have the big three Rishonim, Rambam, Rif, and Rush, so he'd probably be number four.
Okay.
He lived around the same time as the Rif.
Oh, okay.
You know, 1200s, he lived in Germany. We had him once before. And he'd be a Rishon on the level of the Rambam, Rif,
yeah.
And Rush. He would be in that category.
Okay.
And he comes up a lot. And he often agrees with the Ashkenazim. Okay.
But he's Sephard.
No, I mean he is Ashkenazi. I'm saying the Ashkenazi
he's
position.
He's using Ashkenazi.
Right. He's like the Ashkenazi position often follows what he says. Okay.
So the three major commentators are Sephard.
True.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Rif, who we've heard of. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As in the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. So the Rif says, so we have the Tani Chari, he quotes the Gemara. Okay. Fourth line of the Rif, Yerushalmi. He quotes a Yerushalmi, right? That Gemara
mm-hmm.
that we don't learn very often.
Mm-hmm.
The Yerushalmi in Perek, Einom Din Lit Palel, that's Gemara Brachot. So the Yerushalmi in the Masechet Brachot says, Tani, Haporeis al Shema, somebody who gets up to repeat, who used to be, when you got to shul, Shachrit was a lot shorter. There was no psukei d'zimra. In time of the Gemara, you'd get to shul, and it was kind of like Mariv, but in the morning, they did two brachot before Shema, the bracha after Shema, Shmona Esrei, and you went home.
No repetition.
Well, no, repetition too, but no psukei d'zimra, no. No Tachanun, Elenu is later. A lot of things are later.
Oh.
Yeah, most things were added in time of the Gaonim. So you had two chazans. So there was a Shema chazan that's called Poreis al Shema, someone who would repeat the Shema for everybody. And then you had a Shmon Esrei chazan, a Poreis al Hatzvila, someone who would repeat the Shmon Esrei. And in fact, they only had the repetition, meaning wasn't repetition, but people didn't have sidurim, so the guy would just get up and do it, right? And then the idea of a repetition was later. The idea of having two times that we do it was later. All you had was the chazan doing it originally. So ha'poreis al shema, so the person who gets up to say shema and the brachot on behalf of everybody, ha'over lifnei ha'teva, that's the phrase, and the person who repeats Shmona Esrei, v'hanoseat kapav, and the person who leads duchening, birkat kohanim, v'hakorei ba'torah, and the person who reads in the Torah, v'hamaftir ba'navi, and the person who leans the haftorah, v'hamivarech al kol achat, al kol achat, mikol mitzvot ha'amur ba'torah, or does any mitzvot that are mentioned in the Torah, lo yaneh amein achar atzmo, should not say amen after his own brachot. V'imana, and if he does, harei ze bor. That person is an ignoramus. Is a bor. Yeah. Eat tana detani harei ze chacham. But continuing in the Yerushalmi, there's another opinion that he is a wise man. This sounds similar to what? It sounds similar to our Gemara. Harei ze mishubach, harei ze miguna. Right, the red and the blue. Harei ze miguna, harei ze Mishubach. Harei ze bor, harei ze chacham. Same thing. Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda explains this. Manda amar harei ze bor, the person who said that he's an ignoramus, ba'onel kol bracha u'bracha, is talking about someone who says amen after every bracha within a group, within a series.
On his own bracha.
Yeah. To his own bracha within a series. Umanda Amar, and the person who says Hareza Chacham, that person is wise, Boneh Basof, is talking about a person who says Amen at the end of a series of his own brachot. What's missing from this Yerushalmi?
But they're saying the same thing. Don't say it after your own one bracha.
Yeah, but what's missing from this Yerushalmi?
The exceptions.
Well, it has an exception, but it says it's bad if you do it after every individual bracha within a series. It's okay, or it's good to do it after the series is finished.
Oh, saying it for after everyone when someone else is saying it.
That's
what's missing. Saying it for
okay.
Each bracha.
Oh, well, we assume if it's for someone else, that's
the
okay.
Benching is missing.
Benching, right? Our Gemara explicitly mentions benching as being what's good. Benching is good.
Benching
other
is the one
is bad.
Where you could
right.
Say it after
and everything
yourself.
Else is bad, exactly.
Okay.
This does not give that. The Yerushalmi doesn't...
Well, he can. I mean, he's saying, Bonem is soft, so that used to be the end, so it could be...
Right, right.
Oh,
so
benching could be included, but that's not the only example. Argamara gave benching explicitly, right? It said back in our Gemara, Ha b'bonei Yerushalayim, it's good, it's red in your b'bonei Yerushalayim. Ha b'shar brachot, it's bad if it's all other brachot.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem, and here's where the Ashkenazim and Sephardim split up. When it said in our Gemara, in the blue of our Gemara, Ha b'shar brachot, it's bad if it's all other brachot. That could mean two different things.
And or, and not whatever.
It could mean other brachot of benching, meaning at the end of
Bnei. Any.
Or all other brachot in the world. Right? Bnei Yerushalayim is the only clear thing we know. Right? This is the problem.
It's the ha.
That's the right ha. Right?
We
yes.
Don't know if it's referring to other brachot in Birkat Hamazon,
right.
Other brachot in general.
Right, and here's why it matters. Because if it's talking about Bnei Yerushalayim is good, all other brachot within benching to say amen after your own bracha would be bad, that would then mean that you could extrapolate that, you could easily pick
Kal
that up right, and make a Kal V'chomer to many other situations. You have the Haftorah series, and you have the Hallel series, the Pesukei Zimra series, and the same principle would apply. Each bracha within the series, don't make that amen. The end of the series, you do make amen, if that's what Shahar Brachot means. But Shahar Brachot might mean benching is a yes, other things are a no for some odd reason, right? In which case, the end of these other series would be a no.
Right. And nobody explains that? Like, nobody looked at that ever in history and said... Which one do they mean?
Saying, you know,
Like no commentator.
They are. Without quite seeing those words on paper, that is the argument.
As far as it can go.
No, that's what they are doing.
Oh.
That's the Ashkenazi-Sephard divide.
Oh.
That's the point of departure.
Oh, so the Sephardim are now going to say it means this?
Right.
Oh, wait, is there an amen in the Sephardi Birkat HaMazon? They end up in...
Sure, that's for sure. That's Bnei Yerushalayim. That we know for sure.
So they're okay with it.
That everyone knows. That's in the Gemara.
It's
the
a question is whether to keep going with it.
Right. The question is whether what is bad to say amen after is every other bracha within the benching series,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing, and then you can pick up that same series, apply it, you know, cut and paste
what's
it.
What's the series?
Well, anything with two or more, and you know.
So after every second bracha, you could say.
No, if it's a series, if it's sof brachot, meaning if there's a series of brachot that are linked. So the brachot before Shema
uh-huh.
are linked. You know, they're brachot of Shema. The Hallel brachot. So you have a bracha at the beginning of Hallel, bracha at the end of Hallel. So that's a series now. It's two or more.
Uh-huh.
It's linked. But that's the point of departure. So Ashkenazim look at this Gemara and say, Shahar brachot means that it's bad, that benching is good.
Mm-hmm.
All other possible cases you could dream up, Shema, Hallel, Shmona Esrei,
all other means, forget it.
Right, Shahar Brachot means other cases that you could find, that you could dream up.
Mm-hmm.
Sephardim are looking at this Gemara, and, well, we'll get back to the Yerushalmi in a second, but the Sephardim would look at this Gemara and say, no, Shahar Brachot means every other bracha within the same series.
Mm-hmm.
So the first bracha of benching, Hazonet HaKol, no amen. Allah Aretz V'Allah Mazon, no amen. Bonei Yerushalayim, amen. Because that's the end of a series. And then you could cut and paste that to similar series out in the world. But you can't cut and paste it if Sha'ar Brachot means don't apply this to all other Brachot in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then how could you apply it to other cases in the world? Sha'ar Brachot means don't apply it to other cases in the world. There's nothing to apply it to. So when the Tosfot and the Mordechai say, well, it's just a minhag that developed, not to do it any other time but benching, that might not be true. Because it might be the Ashkenazim saw Sha'ar Brachot as meaning there's no other case where you can do this. There's no other case where you can say amen after something about benching.
Mm-hmm.
Why something about benching? Maybe because of the Abaye thing. Because you need to say amen there to tell your workers, or maybe because you have a Ashkenaz, the Araita versus the Rabbanon thing,
mm-hmm.
which is unique.
Mm-hmm.
That you want to say this is the end of the,
mm-hmm.
I think actually, the Aruch HaShulchan might say this, that, or the Rosh, somebody says this, that because one is the Araita, the first three brachot are the Araita.
So you really want to make a huge distinction.
Right. So it's a distinction between the Araita and the Rabbanon.
Oh.
That doesn't apply to the Shema things,
right.
Or to the, you know, the Hallel. Oh yeah, okay. Yes, the end of the Aruch Shulchan. Ulai kedei la'asod heker bein deraitel rabbanon. Right, it's a unique situation. It's not that we just develop that minhag at random. There's a reason for it.
So, is there anything else that exists that would be deraita versus derabbanon?
If so, then we would apply. But I don't think so. Where you have a series of brachot and the first two are deraita, right? It would be hard to think of any other
so
cases.
It's really interesting
question.
Because honestly they're both completely valid.
Oh yeah, they're always all completely valid.
Well, I mean
yeah.
More like I was just thinking it's not because the Ashkenazim were just like, well, we, you know, and then
right.
people started doing it, you know, but really there is a case to be made either way,
right? Exactly,
for different, completely different reasons.
Exactly, but
so.
Starting with the same Gemara. Because the Gemara,
yeah.
think the Gemara sounds clear when you first read it, but then as you pick it apart, and you have to really practically make a decision. So the minhag that develops, let's say in the Ashkenazi countries, is to read the Sha'ar Brachot in the Gemara as meaning that any other situation you can find, this will not apply to.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sephardim read the same Gemara, and say Sha'ar Brachot means that. That all other brachot within the series
Of anything of that any, is a series.
Right, of anything with a series, bracha A, B, C, and D, mm-hmm. you don't make a main, you don't say a main, but then the end of the series,
E.
you do.
Yeah.
So is it unusual? So the Rif brings the Yerushalmi.
Right.
Right? Is that unusual that someone would bring that as a proof text?
It's not so common, but it happens sometimes. Is he
going out on a limb that he wants to...
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Right. What? So, right. So the Yerushalmi seems to support who? So the Yerushalmi says... Right, it's not a difference of benching versus Sha'ar Brachot. He says it's a difference between good or bad is the difference between Kol Bracha or Bracha versus Basof. So who does that support? I don't think that's Sephardi.
Right.
At any situation where there is a series, it's bad for the first few and then okay at the end.
Right.
So he's bringing it as a support for the Sephardi custom. Right.
And again, this is to yourself. Not
yeah, it's your own bracha.
Other people can
bracha.
Keep saying amen to your one thing.
Right.
That's the Sephardi
exactly.
Position.
Okay. Or any position. That's,
any position.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe he did the go and see what people are doing.
Right.
He saw what they were doing, and then he needed to find a way to support it.
Could
are
be.
You saying
yeah, that's
that
very true.
Could be,
yeah, that's good. Definitely true. Remember, sentence. We saw that sleeping in the sukkah case where the
mm-hmm.
Aruch HaShulchan says, well, you know, doesn't seem right, but then we could justify it because... You know, it's cold in their countries, and the Gemara didn't want you to be... Right. So it could be working that direction.
So the Sephardi say, don't say it for each one, but just say it at the end of the series.
Right, but any series.
Any series.
But exactly.
On
any
yourself.
Series. For yourself.
Right, got the part about yourselves.
Yeah.
And what do the Ashkenazi say?
They say
only.
That the whole thing applies only to benching.
And so you would never say it at the end of a series for yourself.
In benching, you would. Benching.
Except outside of
right.
benching.
Outside of benching, right. Never.
Ashkenazi say, do not say Amen at the end of a series.
Right. Benching, yes. Other things, no. Right. The Sha'ar Brachot means all other situations, all other series.
Oh, so, okay. So then in Nusach Ari, they're following the Ashkenazi position.
No, because you said they say...
They say, don't say Amen at the end of Birchot HaShachar.
Oh, then that would be Ashkenazi.
Is that the follow-up Sephardi?
I always thought Nusach Ari was more following Sephardi. But who knows? It could just be some,
it's
its own thing.
It should be closer to Ashkenazi because they was the Ashkenazi countries. I mean, you know, Ari developed
well,
in Russia.
Nusach Ari follows the Arizal.
Right.
So
who lived in
Sfar.
Well, okay. But before that, he...
The Arizal came from Spain, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay.
I don't know, but it is random. Like... Sometimes, whatever. Okay.
Right. Okay.
But that's really interesting because I never knew why you don't say Amen. Okay.
Right.
Now
so that is a window into why you see, right?
Yeah.
Starting from the same Gemara, which sounds so innocuous when you read it, right? And then, sure enough, there's so many directions you can go. Right. There's so many, right? There end up being two directions that you can go. And even though the Mordechai and the Tosfos just assume, well, that's what it is, it developed, there's no reason for it. If you look more closely, you can kind of
right.
You can find the reason within those words. Habashar Brachot. We mentioned we saw the Aruch HaShulchan already. Really. Let's see if he says anything else. Rabbeinu Habeit Yosef quotes everybody. right at the end of the Aruch HaShulchan, he says Ach Etzleinu, but by us. We only do this in Bnei Yerushalayim.
This
is the Aruch HaShulchan, the bottom of 23,
okay.
Last couple lines.
Okay.
And maybe Kedei La'asod Heker, this is to make a distinction, Bein Da'oraita L'Rabbanan. To make a distinction between the Torah Brachot of benching and the Rabbinic, right? So that's why the Gemara has a funny, you know. It's not. You can't just indiscriminately apply this Gemara to all other cases.
So he's the one who looked at all that and said, which one are they referring? Like,
right.
This is the only difference that we could figure out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But he's still using it as a demarcation.
Right.
Between Deraita and Deraita.
Exactly.
Ranan.
Right.
So that's the same way the Sephardim use it as a demarcation between the end of a series and
True.
Going forward.
But there'd be no reason to do that with other series because there's no daraita and derabanan to differentiate between.
I understand. It's just using that. Yeah.
Right. Either way, the amen that at the end of series is means end of series. Right. It doesn't mean my prayer should now affect the cosmetic
entire
order.
Universe.
The cosmic order. Yeah. And that's why we don't do this with all of the brachot. Because there's no obligation to do it. There would be permission to do it in other cases. As there, you could, if you want to. In theory, you could do it after Shema and Shmona Esrei and Halil if you really wanted to. But you'd have no reason to. And the only time there'd be a reason to, and therefore an obligation, is in benching because of the Daraita and Darabanan distinction.
So he's not saying you're magon or whatever. He's not saying you're wrong or you're messed up.
Right.
So he's he's okay with either one.
Yeah.
He's just identifying what he thinks the Ashkenazi reason is.
Right. The Ashkenazi reason is because he's looking at it and saying, well, if we only do the benching thing, then what's unique about it? Let's find something unique about benching that's not true about these other series.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a Daraita component and a Darabanan component.
But he doesn't criticize if you
to. Right, it's true.
He says
you could, but he says you don't have to. Here, you need to make this distinction.
Got it.
The others, there's no need to make the distinction. So
but there's not a problem.
Right, no problem. Exactly.
Cool. So let's say you're in Israel and I want to go daven as far as shul. So you're not supposed to get caught up in the moment of there, you're supposed to go with an awareness of what your own minhag is, I guess. And
in some ways,
what if you're just not knowledgeable enough?
Right.
And you...
Yeah.
I'm not, people don't know.
Well, really, if you're in an Ashkenazi shul or a Sephardi shul and you're not that, you really should keep your minhag to the extent that you can without it being very obvious.
A thing.
Right.
So probably in that case, people wouldn't notice if you didn't say amen after...
Right.
You know, I mean, people aren't looking that closely, no one knows what you're up to.
Maybe the opposite, if a Sephardi person, came here and would be, loudly, amen,
right,
amen,
say
amen,
loudly.
Amen, that would be...
Right.
A shun.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah, I mean...
It would be shunned.
Yeah,
it would be shunned.
I mean, it comes up in Kedusha,
if
there's the different lines of Kedusha in many Kedushas. If you're Ashkenazi, you really should do what the shul does. To loudly say, or at least to acquire it, but to loudly say your line of Kedusha, which is different than everyone else's line of Kedusha, it's not really correct.
Oh.
either do it quietly or say what everyone else is saying for Kedusha.
That's a question I had, because we daven in a different sitter here than we're used to, and what I know, what I have in my memorized, is a different Kedusha, and so I didn't know...
Right.
Should I really be saying that? I'm never saying anything loud. It's not a question of that. It's a question of, is it wrong to say a different Kedusha? Should you really say what they're saying? I say what we say here because it seemed like, if you're in that shul, you should say what they're saying.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
Let me only confirm it for myself, and then I'll...
Yeah.
It's a good question, so I don't want to make sure... I want to make sure I say it right, so I'll email it or I'll put it on the blog.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
This is awesome.
So we're allowed one more week?
Do we have one more week?
Yes. We're one more week.
We are?
Yes. Right on here.
I didn't know there was another class.
Wow, bonus class.
Well, this was class number 5. We'll add one more week. Oh. Bonus class. Gratis.
And then our exam.
Yeah,
what did the ref say? What did the ref say?
I'm ditching that class.
And if the ref and the ref just agree, then what
would it be? Can I run a scenario by you?
Oh, can I keep this?
So I went to the Deffin the
other
day.
Yes.
And as I parked in the parking lot, I noticed there was a car running. And then I noticed there's kids popping out of the sunroof. So I looked in and I...